Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, that illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that'll determine what the future will bring. And I need to remind you that views expressed here is not necessarily what those of the owners, sponsors of the station you're listening to. They're my views, and well, for the next hour, hopefully they're going to be the views of our good friend John Quirk. And John really has worked for the intelligence agencies for 25 years or more. Now he's retired and has some other fascinating work. We won't get into that, but he knows people all over the world. He's traveled all over the world. He's worked certainly in the Near East and the Middle East. And John, thank you very much for being with us tonight.
It's a pleasure. I hope we are able to discuss kind of an update on what's happening in Venezuela.
Well, that's what I'd like to do. Now, basically, we can repeat what we talked about the other day. This is an entirely different audience, but John has strong ties to Venezuela. Did your wife come from Venezuela?
Yeah, she did, and I lived there 3 years. I've traveled there. I still have a house there if the Cubans haven't taken it over. I'm not allowed to go back there. The last time I was there, I was with my lawyer investigating a fraud case, and the intelligence services came along to a number of the people I was visiting there and clients and said they had a big file on me and I'm a bad person, and I started trouble when I was there in the 1980s when the country was a democracy. I mean, it was just ludicrous, but I've done a lot of work against Chavez. I wrote one of the first intelligence reports about his background, and I've written articles about him, 10 years ago, when not many people knew about him, to the ABA's Division of National Security. So I've kept my hand in. The relationship with the United States and Venezuela, as you know, has really gone downhill since Chavez took power. In something like 15 years ago, we only had 15,000 Venezuelans living in South Florida. Now we have about 275,000 and probably 600,000 Venezuelans living in New York, Houston, New Jersey, California, and South Florida put together. So we've been able to glean a lot of information. Members of my in-laws had to flee the country recently. They owned a number of big companies there, and Chavez confiscated all of their property, their money, and so on. And we've learned from over the last 12 years, we've learned that Venezuela today is a criteria country. It's targeted by the United States. The Venezuelans sub for the Cubans. We were keeping an eye on the Cubans for a long time, operating in the United States, and the Venezuelan Intelligence Service basically subs for them here, conducts espionage, and helps the Cubans. But there's been, since Chavez took place, there's been a number of incidents happening there, the dismantling of democracy, the funding of his Bolivarian movement to Bolivia, Argentina, Ecuador. Several years ago, we arrested a number of Venezuelans engaged in espionage in Miami, caught them with large amounts of suitcases of money funding political campaigns in Argentina. Chavez funds Nicaragua, El Salvador, Bolivia, Ecuador. He's using subversion in almost every Latin American country, except maybe Brazil and Colombia. And then he's invited the Chinese in. The Chinese have been there a while. Iranians, over the last month, we've seen large numbers of Pakistanis coming in.
Hold that thought for just a moment. We'll be back in just a moment here with John Quirk. This is a very important issue. Well, go right ahead, John.
Well, since we talked just 24 hours ago when we were talking about this report that I had sent you.
Gold and silver is tremendously undervalued. Global demand vastly exceeds mine supply by more than 60% annually. There is little in the financial world more certain than a coming explosion in the prices of gold and silver. The U.S. dollar continues to lose value and respect as the world's reserve currency. Our nation faces challenges on many fronts, and a day doesn't pass without another economist bringing forth warnings of impending economic calamity. There has never been a better time than right now to acquire physical gold and silver. Discount Gold and Silver Trading was founded on the principles of truth and honesty. We believe in providing a quality product, quality service, and most importantly, competitive pricing. We provide all forms of precious metals, including American gold, silver, platinum, and rare investment and circulated coins. Silver bars, rounds, and 90% silver bags are on hand for the silver investor. Gold self-directed IRAs are available. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. Toll free, that's 1-800-375-4188.
Well, many men begin having prostate symptoms when they get to be 60 years of age, so Radio Liberty is offering a great product. It's called Prostate Support. It's put together by one of the country's leading health food manufacturers. It contains ingredients which have been proven to work. I know health experts who take the product, and I use it as well, and I think it really is very effective. In addition, we have a product for women during that difficult time of life. It's called Menopause Support. And lastly, we have a product for people who have chronic difficulty with their immune system and nothing else seems to work, it's called Immune Support. All are available by calling 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. These products are compiled by a very reliable company. Give us a call, 1-800-544-8927.
Did you know that there's an increasing amount of scientific data which says that fluoride in drinking water is dangerous? Are you aware that your drinking water may in fact contain many unhealthy substances, even things which can cause sickness or disease? If you'd like information on how to remove these contaminants, find out about the Verki water filter. You can call 800-544-8927 for complete information. There is a way to return to having pure, safe drinking water. The Verki water filter. Call 800-544-8927 for information about a product that could protect you and your family from waterborne disease. The number to call is 800-544-8927. Call today.
Iran and perhaps some of the other countries are involved in building intermediate missiles sites, in other words, silos to house intermediate range missiles on a peninsula on the north part of Venezuela, very close to the Colombian border. Now, that is just the very top of a hump there on South America, and that's where Venezuela sits, but those missiles will be within striking distance of the southern half of the United States, and certainly this is very, very similar to the Cuban Missile Crisis, which took place during the Kennedy administration. Furthermore, of course, John is saying that just within the last few hours, or at least the last 24 hours, he's learned that they've actually pulled some of our naval ships from adjacent to Libya and beginning to station them there close to Iran, or moving in fairly close to Iran, so that there are three carrier groups not too far away from Iran. Did I understand you correctly?
Yeah, there's two carrier groups that are already deployed in the Straits of Hormuz, and the president has just ordered a third one. It's called the George H. Bush, which is our new carrier and task force, is underway and being deployed there to back up the other two carrier task force groups. And you know, intelligence work is taking pieces of the puzzle. And what's happened is several things. The Iranians claim there was a huge spy network funded by the United States. About 40 or 50 people were arrested a couple weeks ago. One of the targets, it's been leaked, of this particular group is to get information on what the Iranians are doing in Venezuela. So the Iranians feel, hey, they blew it. We found out about it. They arrested the people. Second, the movement of naval forces into Iran is sending a message. It could be a message for the Iranians to back off and not start the development of the silos in Venezuela. Or it could be a catalyst to a wider possible military action. You see, the third thing is the Iranians, with Obama's speech last week, they've completely misinterpreted Mr. Obama. They think that in the Arab world, in the Persian world, Iranians are Persians, as you know, and the Arabs, they've interpreted Mr. Obama's speech as being an abandonment of Israel. And they jump on anything that they possibly can, so they try to fill that vacuum. And we've had reports about the surveying a possible missile base for about 2 years now. And what Chavez has done that he's learned from the Cubans and the Russians is that you let a piece of intelligence go out, you get the Americans all worked up, we put all of our intelligence assets, and we find out things are not true. And then they come back a month or two later, and they actually facilitate what they're doing. So they've done this with rumors of a listening station. We investigated down there through satellites and our agents that there was a listening station being built. We found out it wasn't being built. They waited 6 months. They're building it. The same thing happened with the Chinese satellite base that the Chinese are building for them in Superstate. We heard about the rumors 2.5 years ago. We investigated. The satellites went over, our satellites, our spy planes. We said, hey, it's all a bunch of nonsense. 9 months later, they're starting to build a satellite base. So they know how to work in counterintelligence against us and in disinformation. So these rumors of this missile base have been going on for 2 years. Now it looks like we have hard intelligence about what they're doing. And here's the other thing. The Pentagon and the CIA initially reported these are defensive missiles. There's nothing to worry about. Since that time, my sources in Iran and the Middle East and Israel, that has a very good intelligence service, said that, no, the building of this missile base is for long-range ballistic missiles. They're called the Shabbat 5 and 6. They're rumored to be three-stage systems which have a range of 3,500 to 10,000 miles. So they could definitely hit the United States. They could probably hit Washington, D.C. So the United States, after I've been very critical of a lot of our policymaking to do in Venezuela, seems to be reacting very positively to stop what Chavez and the Iranians are doing. And I think as time goes on, and you read more about this newspaper in Iran, I get it, it's called El Arabia, detailed even better than the American press about the spy accusations and the complete collapse of any kind of possible diplomacy between the United States and Iran, is you'll see that a lot of these spies were working for the United States, not just on trying to get information on the nuclear developments that the Iranians are doing, but on their relationship with Venezuela. So I think we're going to be in a crisis probably over the next few weeks, and probably it could be the big crisis of 2011.
Well, I think that Mr. Obama needs a crisis. I mean, his popularity is plummeting. Basically, John had sent me the article perhaps a week ago. I was a little surprised because I follow the Sydney Wall Street Journal, New York Times very closely. But I went up on the Internet, and there are all sorts of articles there now. They're not the ones that are circulating to the regular sources, but they are there, and a number of key sites are very concerned about these Venezuelan missiles, and nobody's talking about them. I think that's why this is a really such an important subject. Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about intermediate-range missiles being built that can target the United States in the hands of a madman like Chavez, who hates America, and, of course, is closely aligned with Iran, who hates America, and the elements within Pakistan that hate America, and the people in China who hate America. Why are they building those missile sites? They're certainly not building because they're going to be targeting Brazil or Argentina or certainly Mexico. Those are aimed at the United States. And we should be concerned mainly because we're not hearing about this through regular channels. I mean, certainly it's there. I have no question it's there. You can check it out on the Internet. Fortunately, we have the Internet. You have the ability to go to get the documentation, at least on many subjects. And this is a very real threat that is only really coming to the fore right at the present time.
Well, Chavez has a number of tricks against the United States that he's been developing. He has a biological warfare facility funded by the Cubans and we believe assisted by both Chinese and Iranian microbiologists. I've interviewed a defector from that facility. He has two nuclear reactors at IVEC. People say that the Iranians don't have a nuclear weapon yet. We don't have anything to worry about. But the Iranians own a major container port in LaGuardia. They've had it for 5 years. They could ship anything into Miami or anything else. They see our support, even though under Obama it hasn't been as strong for Israel, but our hubris in Pakistan and expanding and our efforts to outmaneuver Iran with Syria as very much of a threat. The Iranians, if anything, their number one crisis now is if Syria collapses, because if Syria collapses, it will completely outmaneuver all of their aid to Hezbollah and Hamas and create a stronger bond, even though Obama is not that pro-Israel, no matter this recent speech he gave at AIPAC, he really isn't. But it has still created a tremendous bond between the United States military and Israel. So Iran is feeling the pressure. Their back is starting to be pushed up against the wall. And then if you go back for their long-range planning, in October of 2010, they signed this non-aggression pact. It contains a whole series of trade agreements between Venezuela, intelligence sharing. There's Iranian intelligence officers at the Helyuside headquarters in Caracas. I know it very well. Venezuela has agreed to allow Iran to begin the construction of the missile base, which they're doing. There are Iranian architectural firms and construction firms if people know Venezuela, on a street called Sabana Grande, and they share offices down the street with both FARC and so on. So there is, I believe, I'm not a conspiracy guy, but I believe that there is a loose-lit conspiracy between Iran, Pakistan, formerly maybe Libya, they're too worried now about their own problems, and Venezuela. And I don't trust the Russians, and I don't trust the Chinese, because they're there in full force, okay, making oil deals, railroad deals, weapons deals, and so on and so forth.
And, of course, we're dependent upon Venezuela. About 14% of our oil comes from there. Remember, we don't primarily get our oil from Saudi Arabia. We get it from Nigeria, Venezuela, and some Mexico, and a great deal from Canada. But then, of course, we have plenty of oil, but we have not developed it. Now, one thing that nobody's told you is just last week, with very little fanfare, the Senate voted to authorize the beginning of oil drilling in Anwar. How could you cover something like that up? Why, we have freedom of the press in America, and when you have freedom of the press, you own the press, You have the freedom to suppress whatever you want, but we're going to start drilling in Anwar. Go right ahead, John.
Well, when you're talking about oil also, the Chinese have signed long-term contracts with the Venezuelans, and we thought that would hurt Venezuela.
Heart disease is on the rise. Clogged arteries, high blood pressure, and high cholesterol levels may not be fully detected by you, but the symptoms are there. Loss of energy, blood sugar spikes and drops, poor circulation, and irregular heartbeat are just a few of these that can alert you that something is wrong. Hear how Heart and Body Extract is making a difference in thousands of people's lives across America.
My blood pressure has normalized. My diabetes has totally improved.
Everyone is telling me now how much healthier I look. I'm telling everyone how much healthy I feel. I recommend Heart and Body Extract to everyone.
Anybody over 40 in the North American continent should be using this product as a preventative to keep their cardiovascular system healthy.
Order your two-month supply today by calling 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. Or order online, hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract, 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com.
You may be new to freeze-dried foods. You may have storable food questions. You may want to buy your freeze-dried foods from a very reputable company and not go broke in the process. Welcome to the Freeze-Dry Guy. Okay, actually, we're more than just one guy. We're a California-based company that's been serving our U.S. military and other government agencies with the finest in freeze-dried storable foods and emergency rations since 1970. See all about us at freezedryguy.com. With Freeze-Dry Guy freeze-dried foods, you can and will be ready for just about any unexpected crisis. Freeze-dried guy foods are delicious, require little preparation, and will taste just as fresh decades from now as they do today. Just add hot water and serve. Backpackers consistently rate us number one year after year as the best tasting and ease of preparation. Isn't that what you want for your family? Visit freezedryguy.com or call 866-404-FOOD. That's 866-404-3663 or go to freezedryguy.com. Freeze-Dry Guy, the best you can buy.
Sometimes when you're having an important spiritual conversation with a friend or loved one, time simply runs out. Now there's a place on the World Wide Web that will help you keep your friend's interest until you can meet again face to face. I'm talking about thestoryofjesus.com. Yes, that's right, thestoryofjesus.com. It's a wonderful new website that does exactly what you think it should. It tells the story of Jesus Christ. You'll find there a completely harmonized version of the four gospel accounts. It's available for you to browse through on your computer, download in print for a permanent reference, and you can even listen to the story on your computer or download files, which will work on your portable digital player. Tell your friends. Use it yourself. That's thestoryofjesus.com. Simple as that. Thestoryofjesus.com. For many decades, these great United States have had security and plenty because of the thousands of small farms which supply our every nutritional need. For generations, these dedicated men and women have supplied us with fresh food at reasonable cost. There is a chance that our food supply could be cut off in the event of a national emergency. You should carefully consider planting your own home garden. A seed bank from seedcatalog.com will make it almost easy. A seed bank contains every seed you'll need to plant a basic survival garden. All heirloom and all ready for you to create that special, necessary outdoor resource. Where can you find out more? Call 888-866-9132 or go to seedcatalog.com. Call 888-866-9132 right now and order seed for this year's garden. Seedcatalog.com.
Military, and he has alliances with both Communist China and Iran and other countries that dislike the United States, Cuba. But, you know, we could certainly consider them ridiculous until we begin to see them begin to actually build nuclear silos, pardon me, silos for missiles. And those missiles could be nuclear tipped. We don't know whether they are. He does have areas where he's developing chemical and biological weapons. But those missile bases could be used to actually house missiles that could strike the United States. This is not something certainly in the distant future. Have they actually started construction on those missile sites yet, John?
No, they haven't. What they have is like when you build a house, they've staked it all out. They've got stakes and plans and so on and so forth. And so they haven't really started building it. They have the money in the bank, I'm told, to do it, hundreds of millions of dollars to start the actual construction. Okay, and when people say Iran is building intermediate-range missile launch pads, and engineers from the construction firm I mentioned have visited there. They visited, they surveyed. They haven't started to pour the concrete yet, but they're getting ready to do it.
And, of course, we could move our naval flotillas up adjacent to Iran, but if they have silo bases, not too far from our southern border, why, of course, they can more or less neutralize our aircraft superiority that we would have over there. So this is nothing to be taken lightly, and the fact that we're just not talking about it is really of great concern to me. So what's the next thing as far as Venezuela? Do you think that they're going to be able to actually do anything to topple Chavez? What about the elections? It sounds like the people there really are not doing very well.
No, the people are not doing well. Most of the people do not like him on a range of hating him. He said that he's going to stay in power, and he will shoot down any protesters if he loses the election coming next year. And he'll probably do that, okay? He said he will not leave office under any circumstances. The military, although there are elements of the military that don't like him, they'll back him up, because one of the things that he's done, that actually every president, whether you're dictator or democratically elected, Venezuela was the longest-running democracy in Latin America. Romulo Betancourt came in 1958, after Perez Jimenez, who was a dictator, but he did a lot for the country. Betancourt instituted democracy. There were no other democracies in Latin America except in Central America and Costa Rica. It was the only one. Betancourt did the same thing that all the subsequent presidents did, Carlos Andrés, Herrera, Caldera, and today Chavez. They learned that if they want to stay in power, they raise the salaries, double the salaries, increase the salaries of the military. What Chavez has done is even more. He gives them a month off at Christmas. He gives them unbelievable bonuses. The military has mansions in Puerto La Cruz, and I've been there. And if you look at them, they usually have a $20 million yacht anchored to their house. They've bought tremendous amounts of property in Florida or near Disney, where they bring their families and so on. They keep Chavez in power with the Cubans. And they rig elections, although the first election was a democratically elected president, and we have to say that Chavez was democratically elected. Subsequent elections have been full of fraud, intimidation, killing. He has his red shirts go out like Mussolini had his black shirts and Hitler had the brown shirts. Chavez has his red shirts go out and intimidate people. If you're not for Chavez, you don't work in the government. You don't get contracts. You can't travel. You can't get visas for vacation. So he's bribed the people. They call them the marginals, which is a derogatory term for the poor people. Even the poor people are getting fed up with him, but it doesn't matter. He's consolidated power, and he's a dictator in a very strong position to stay in for a long time.
I'm right, and of course, he's no friend of the United States, so that's really going to complicate matters in South America. Well, our guest is John Quirk. If you have a question or comment, our telephone number, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 464-8295. We'll be right back.
This is Pastor David Whitney with Institute on the Constitution. Our founders constructed this constitutional republic with the intent that citizens would function as the final check on the power of civil government. But that design would only work if the citizens understood our form of government as well as their responsibilities within that structure. That's why Institute on the Constitution has put together a host kit that enables anyone, anywhere, with any group of people to instruct them on our founding documents. We urge you to order a host kit. You can call us toll free at 866-730-9796. That's 866-730-9796. Or you can order it on the web. Go to our website, iotconline.com. The only way our republic will survive is if its citizens arm themselves with the knowledge of our founding fathers' original intent of the Constitution, the Declaration, and the Bill of Rights. Call us, 866-730-9796.
Well, many men begin having prostate symptoms when they get to be 60 years of age, so Radio Liberty is offering a great product. It's called Prostate Support. It's put together by one of the country's leading health food manufacturers. It contains ingredients which have been proven to work. I know health experts who take the product, and I use it as well, and I think that really is very effective. In addition, we have a product for women during that difficult time of life. It's called Menopause Support. And lastly, we have a product for people who have chronic difficulty with their immune system and nothing else seems to work, it's called Immune Support. All are available by calling 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. These products are compiled by a very reliable company. Give us a call, 1-800-544-8927.
People are becoming more aware of the dangers of fluoride in their drinking water. We're offering you a proven way to remove more than 95% of this dangerous chemical which threatens your good health. It's the Whole House Fluoride Removal System, available right now from Radio Liberty. This system will also remove aluminum, manganese, arsenic, lead, and most heavy metal. Your fear regarding these dangerous chemicals in the water you drink can be eased by getting more information from RadioLiberty.com. Go to RadioLiberty.com right now and find out all you need to know about protecting your home's precious water supply. Read the information about the Whole House Water Fluoride Removal System and order one. Free shipping is included in every purchase. You can also call 1-800-544-8927. Where's that information? RadioLiberty.com. That's 1-800-544-8927.
In the Middle East, and my concern is that certainly this whole area is crumbling. The very foundation of all of those nations in jeopardy. What is going to happen next? Now, where are we going? Is this there's a tremendous amount of oil over there right at the present time? We need that oil since we're certainly the great concentration of oil is in the Uzbekistan, Turkestan, Turkmenistan, Kurdistan area there, and then, of course, Iran, Iraq, Saudi Arabia. And suddenly, where are we headed, and how can we possibly avoid getting entangled in even a larger war in that region of the world? So, John, before we go ahead, we've got Herman calling from Carmel. Herman, did you have a question or comment for our guest?
Yes, really quickly. How can America sustain a $1.6 trillion deficit? The foreigners are buying our debt. If that were ever to stop, wouldn't that put our whole military operation in great jeopardy?
Herman, I would beg to differ. I don't think that the foreigners are buying the majority of our debt. I think that we are buying the majority of our own debt with money we're creating out of nothing, and that's what the Fed is doing. Suddenly, the foreigners are buying some of our debt, but what we're doing is monetizing our debt, which is a pathway to disaster. But, John, how would you respond to Herman's question?
I think Herman asked a good question, and this is just my own crystal balling here. I did a show a few weeks ago on the hidden debt of our national security budget. And as you know, the budget was passed a few weeks ago. ago by Congress, and they only managed to cut $38 billion out, and I think we still had a $3.7 trillion deficit. Actually, our deficit in the next 6 months is going to grow to $14 trillion alone with our national security budget. And I've got about 20 pages on this, but I'll summarize it. It's increased money for CIA, the National Security Agency, new weapon systems for the Pentagon, $1 billion for pensions for retiring Iraq and Afghanistan vets, $1 billion for civilian people retiring, and there's about 30 categories.
Now, is that a billion or is that a trillion?
No, it's 13 to 15 trillion.
Right, go ahead.
Okay, I mean, it's like $1 billion for pensions, $1 billion for this, and it adds up almost, or it's almost $1 trillion for pensions. So it's about $15 trillion altogether. Now, the other thing that's happening, following up on what Herman said, is that the increased overflow of the budget for Libya, and I've got a good friend of mine who is number two at NATO, is going to be something like $300 billion we've already committed to on Libya, and we haven't got rid of Gaddafi yet. And they made some kind of ridiculous statement today when Cameron was speaking with President Obama that NATO is going to be paying the United States back. Well, that's a joke because we fund 70% of NATO. So we're going to fund all the money that we've spent on Libya. It's ridiculous. It's just moving money from one column to another. But what I think is basically going to happen, and as our national security budget burdens, and we're not winning in Afghanistan, and the government, both Cameron and Bush and Clinton, have agreed to spend billions more on Pakistan. We're not pulling out of Pakistan. We're spending billions more. It's like they're extorting us. If we don't spend it, the Pakis are going to continue to develop their nuclear stuff. Taliban's going to take over anyway. That's the rationale. So between Pakistan and Afghanistan, we're still making large expenditures in Iraq. Our $15 trillion budget with the Pentagon over the next year, I think we're going to go deeper into an economic recession. And if you look at the history, and especially I'm a former Democrat, I don't want to bash the Democrats, I'm a Irish Catholic from the south side of Chicago, but I became a Republican when Ronald Reagan came in. But if you look at all of our major wars, they were started because we were in economic trouble. World War One, Wilson, Democrat. World War Two, Franklin Roosevelt, a great man. We had to do that, but we were in trouble from the Depression. Korea, Truman, Vietnam, Kennedy and Johnson, and now we're stuck with Clinton and Obama's wars, Afghanistan following up a greater regional war. I think what's going to happen is that the crises are going to build so much. Mr. Obama is going to use these political things to get himself reelected. When he's reelected, I think the economy is going to continue to go down, even though he's reelected. And I think because of the situation between Israel and Iran and the failure of the Middle East peace, we're going to have a major, major regional war that's probably going to spread from Iran, Central Asia, where all the oil is that we want, all the way to Pakistan. And then these other players, like Venezuela and Korea, North Korea, that we haven't done much with in our own national security policies, they're really failures of Mr. Obama. These people will probably be taken off the chessboard in kind of a major war. I'm sorry to say that. I'm not a conspiracy guy, but I really see this happening on what's happening both economically and with the increase of war.
Well, that's a frightening thing to contemplate, but I fear that you're absolutely right. You can just see how this whole thing is heading towards a war, and certainly only within the last few weeks that we've talked about, you know, the breaking down the situation as far as Pakistan, and more suggesting, oh, Pakistan was hiding Obama, Osama, and they knew where he was, and they've been working against us, and really building up pressure to suddenly turn against Pakistan. And the last thing we want to do is get further drawn into that. And, of course, the biggest thing is that they have effectively blocked our development of our own massive oil supplies. Now, the reason that I mentioned earlier that is very, very quietly within the last week and a half have actually voted in the Senate by a vote, I think it was 51 to 49 or 52 to 48, to begin drilling in Anwar. Why is that important? Because they know that the oil supplies from the Middle East are going to be disrupted, and we have to start developing those oil supplies now, because it'll take a couple of probably 3 or 4 years at the earliest before we'll be able to begin to get that oil, and we're going to need it. We're going to need it desperately. There is a giant test board. They know exactly what they're doing. They don't want us common people to know. How could they have voted to begin drilling in Anwar, and we don't hear about it? Oh, my goodness, dancing with the stars. You know, we got to know what's happening there. And the voice and all of these ridiculous things that they focus our attention, they mold our minds, they form our tastes, they create our suggestions. Everything is manipulated. And, of course, they use pictures on television to frame the way we look at things. And Gerald Lochner today was declared to be mentally incompetent. Why? Well, we've all seen that picture of him, shaved head, wild eyes. You know, that's the picture that they want in the back of our mind about Lochner. This is exactly when they wanted to convict O.J. Simpson, why Time magazine ran a picture on the front page of Time of O.J. Simpson with very black skin. Obviously a black man killed a white woman, but O.J. wasn't a dark-skinned black man. They simply colored his skin dark to create that impression in the minds of the American people. One picture is worth 1,000 words. Look and see what they're doing, and then you can begin to see what they're planning on doing. Well, anything else, Herman, you'd like to ask?
Well, Mr. Quirk, Lindsey Williams recently stated that he was told by one of his friends of the elite that at a future date when the U.S. is having problems with the Middle East and they cut off our supply of oil, even though we don't get our majority from there, that a U.S. president will open up the Anwar field and or the Bakken field and be seen as a hero. Do you think something like that? Do you think President Obama himself could ever be brought to that point?
Yeah, I think so, because he's a master politician and he wants to stay in office. And there's other factors that are affecting his decisions. You know, for every action, there's a reaction. We put tremendous recent sanctions on against Iran. So in order for Iran and its suppliers to sidestep the UN sanctions, okay, they're making deals with Venezuela. Now, Russia, which was supplying all kinds of air defense systems to Iran to shoot down possible Israeli plans, okay, they can't be delivered to Iran because Russia's agreed to go along with Obama's sanctions. So Russia is looking for new customers, and they found one, okay? They found one, Venezuela. They've already shipped something like 5,000 anti-aircraft missiles, which completely outmaneuvers any kind of defense that Mr. Chavez would have for the reason of building Iranian countermeasures. You see, Mr. Chavez actually believes that he can damage the United States, that he can defeat the United States. So you've got this whole mix of things. You've got oil, and not just Anwar. Here's the real goal, and people wonder, why did we really go into Iraq? Iraq was a stepping stone for Iran. Iran is the stepping stone to all the oil in Central Asia. The largest oil reserves in the world, more than Anwar or anywhere else in Canada or Alaska, are in Central Asia. If you look at a map, right next to Central Asia is Turkmenistan, Azerbaijan, which is very friendly to the United States, and you've got Uzbekistan, Tajikistan, Kyrgyzstan. That whole area is full of billions of barrels of oil. The United States' foreign policy was blown by Obama because when he got into office, he started blowing it diplomatically. He offered the Iranians too many things. He said, look, we want peace. We'll give you oil technology. We'll unfreeze your billions of assets. We just want to satisfy Israel, get off Israel's back, and stop developing nuclear weapons. Well, the Iranians, they're not Arabs, okay? They saw this as a sign of weakness. So they basically slapped Mr. Obama in the face. The American media never even criticized Mr. Obama with that. Now, over the last year, the United States has opened up better diplomatic secret relations with Iran. But the Iranians have basically said, if Mr. Obama is president, we're not going to make a deal with him. We're waiting for a tougher Republican president and a change in regime. And I'll tell you why. The United States needs Iran. We need them as a foil against the Arabs. We need them to downsize their nuclear plans so we can give more security to Israel. And if we recognize Iran as the regional power, okay, we'll get two things out of it. We'll get access to the oil in Central Asia, and we love that oil. The Chinese want it, and the Russians want it, but the United States wants it as much. So we'll get that oil. And the second thing is, if we make peace with Iran diplomatically, that would outmaneuver Hezbollah and Hamas. We can probably get the Iranians to stop funding them. It would give Israel security, at least that's the big goal. And even the Israelis are waiting for this. The Israelis have wanted to strike at Iran's nuclear facility for the last 5 years. And they thought they were going to do it with President Bush, and it didn't happen. But they're ready to strike. They've got submarines that could strike. So this is what I think is going to happen. If Mr. Obama is reelected, okay, we are not going to have a good situation with Iran. We could have a regional war that would spread from, as I said, from Iran to their neighbor Afghanistan to their other neighbor in Pakistan. Okay, and Pakistan is very shaky now. So it's about oil. It's about playing a geopolitical game. It's about removing countries from the chessboard. And I think Mr. Obama, the one thing about him, he's really a master politician. He's playing the chessboard. And to answer your question, yes, he'll do something about oil if it's politically feasible for him. What bothers me about Mr. Obama is that I think in every area of his national security policy, it's failed. Our relations with North Korea, he's done nothing about Venezuela. Our relations with Iran, the Israelis believe, no matter what he said at AIPAC, the Israelis believe that he's not a friend of Israel. Okay, they're paranoid. They're getting very much frightened about Mr. Obama. They don't believe all of his guarantees that he's made in speeches. So in every area of Mr. Obama's national security policy, except maybe Afghanistan, he's failed. And that is going to eventually come back to haunt him.
Well, does that answer your question, Herman?
Well, yes, but do you think Mr. Ahmadinejad, after having called America the great Satan and wanting the imam to come out of the well, is going to back down from his position?
Yeah, I think he's not only going to back down, they're probably going to get rid of him. The people in Iran, you know, the largest group of people, as you probably know, are in the range of 17 to 32. They've had it with the mullahs. They want a vacation, they want to travel, they want to go to Europe, they want to start their own businesses, they're tired of unemployment. We do a lot of propaganda from Radio America into Iran. We get a lot of intelligence from Azerbaijan and the neighboring states, Tajikistan, and we know that the power of the mullahs could be cracked, okay? We could probably encourage regime change, but we have to do it with our own pressure and our own diplomacy, and I don't think we've done that, okay? I think it's a miracle that the Israelis haven't attacked their nuclear facilities, because they're back making centrifuges and they're starting to accelerate the development of nuclear weapons again.
Well, I think we're living in very, very dangerous times, Sherman. I think we're just going to have to wait and see what happens. Our guest has been John Quirk, and we're going to be back here in just a moment to wrap up tonight's program. But remember, Venezuela is a very real threat. There's going to, I believe, going to be a crisis in oil before we ever get the oil available from Anwar. But at least they have voted to begin expanding oil production. Very quietly, you're not going to hear about this in the regular media because they don't want you to. Hang on, we'll be back in just a moment right here at Radio Liberty. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and we've got Tim calling from Rockford, Illinois. Tim, do you have a question for our guest?
Yeah, I had a comment and a couple.
Most Americans are iodine deficient today because they stopped adding iodine to our milk and to our flour, and only about half of the salt that's consumed in the United States today contains iodine. So Radio Liberty has produced a four tape or a four CD set that discusses the health benefits of iodine. We also offer Iodorol. It contains 12.5 milligrams of iodine per tablet. And we also offer potassium iodide tablets that will protect your thyroid gland in case there's a nuclear attack. So if you'd like to order these products or obtain additional information, why don't you call 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. Or go to our website at radioliberty.com. That's radioliberty.com. Once again, our telephone number, 1-800-544-8927.
Sometimes when you're having an important spiritual conversation with a friend or loved one, time simply runs out. Now there's a place on the World Wide Web that will help you keep your friend's interest until you can meet again face to face. I'm talking about thestoryofjesus.com. Yes, that's right, thestoryofjesus.com. It's a wonderful new website that does exactly what you think it should. It tells the story of Jesus Christ. You'll find there a completely harmonized version of the four gospel accounts. It's available for you to browse through on your computer, download and print for a permanent reference, and you can even listen to the story on your computer or download files, which will work on your portable digital player. Tell your friends. Use it yourself. That's thestoryofjesus.com. Simple as that. Thestoryofjesus.com. For many decades, these great United States have had security and plenty because of the thousands of small farms which supply our every nutritional need. For generations, these dedicated men and women have supplied us with fresh food at reasonable cost. There is a chance that our food supply could be cut off in the event of a national emergency. You should carefully consider planting your own home garden. A seed bank from seedcatalog.com will make it almost easy. A seed bank contains every seed you'll need to plant a basic survival garden. All heirloom and all ready for you to create that special, necessary outdoor resource. Where can you find out more? Call 888-866-9132 or go to seedcatalog.com. Call 888-866-9132 right now and order seed for this year's garden. Seedcatalog.com.
That many of the people who work in the war on drugs, DEA, etc., are pointing out, of course, that this is creating a lot of the money that is actually making our economy run today. And what are your parting thoughts, John? We're out of time.
Well, I think that we're in for some really rough times from a historical nature compared to what's happening. We've got problems with Pakistan, Venezuela. We're not doing well in Afghanistan. What bothers me about everything, the billions of dollars that we're spending in Libya, and I'm a conservative, but I'm against spending $15 trillion in the military Pentagon area, is that we're draining money from the people in this country that need it. We're still having massive foreclosures. Real estate is down. The dollar is taking a beating. Gasoline prices are going up. People have depleted their savings. And I would like to see us dramatically reduce our spending in military, dramatically reduce our spending in foreign aid, and put more of the money back in this country before we're completely bankrupt.
Agreed. God bless. Thanks very much for being with us tonight, and please keep in touch. Anything new comes up, let me know.
Okay, all the best. Bye.
God bless. Bye-bye. Well, that was John Kirk, always a fascinating individual. Let me just tell you what I think about the war on drugs. Certainly, if you are in prison, you can get any type of drugs you want. If we can't keep drugs out of our prisons, how are we going to keep them out of our society? And I would simply point out that there are people in our government who are behind this whole thing. There's certain elements within certain elements of our society. If you haven't read the book, Defrauding America or Drugging America or Heard Our Four Tapes Set On, Is There Really a War on Drugs? You need to get that information. And understand that certainly a lot of this is being intentionally promoted. And certainly certain of our intelligence agencies are making a tremendous amount of money running drugs. How could the Taliban, the wicked Taliban, have shut off the supply of drugs, in Afghanistan? They just closed out the poppy fields. And now that the Americans are there guarding the fields, why, of course, the opium fields are blooming again. How could that possibly happen unless nothing that we're told is true? And remember, if you can't keep drugs out of our prisons, you can't keep drugs out of our society. Most people are not going to use drugs. We had a free society before we ever had the war on drugs. And since we started the war on drugs, we have more drugs. Since we started the war on cancer, we have more cancer. Since we started the war on poverty, we have more poverty. Maybe, well, why don't we try freedom for a time? Well, ladies and gentlemen, Sydney, you need to read my book, Brotherhood of Darkness. You need to read the book, Drugging America, Defrauding America, Get Our Four Tapes Set On, Is There Really a War on Drugs? And the truth of the matter is, it's all fraudulent. Our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888, I should say, if you want to get the products, why the number is 1-800-544-8927. 544-8927. If you haven't read Jerome Corsi's book, where is the birth certificate? We are going to carry the book. Where is the birth certificate? The book is important. Why? Because it can have a profound impact on how the American people feel about the President of the United States. And let me suggest the book. It's available by calling 1-800-544-8927. It's probably the most significant book of the last decade. Where is the birth certificate by Jerome Corsi? You need to get that interview we did with Dr. Corsi last night by tape or preferably by CD. Our telephone number, 1-800-544-8927. If you'd like to join the Radio Liberty family, we'd love to welcome you into the family. this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, that illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that'll determine what the future will bring. And I need to remind you the views expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views, and, well, hopefully they're going to be the views of William Federer, but... we're having the same problem we had last night when we couldn't get Pat Woods on the line. The line was busy, and it was still busy this morning. And we never could get through. We got through to Pat on his other line, and he could call out on the line, but for some reason or other, it was just stuck on busy all last night and tonight. I hope the same thing is not going to happen with our effort to have William Federer. But just in case it's going to happen, while we're going to just lay the foundation for open lines, and we tell you, this is talk radio. If you'd like to talk to me, my number is 1-800-544-1888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295, and whatever you'd like to talk about, we'll talk about. 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 464-8295, here in the Central Coast of California. Well, we were going to talk to William about his book, From Chains to Chains. That's C-H-A-N-G-E to C-H-A-A-I-N-S, Chains. And ladies and gentlemen, this is exactly the direction we're headed. America was a unique nation in the history of nations because, of course, this was the first time when you had a nation that was created where the power of the government was to be limited over the lives of the people. Now, these ideas really began at Runnymede, certainly in England, back in the time of the signing of Magna Carta back in 1215, when the nobles went to the king, old King John, and just said, "You sign the Magna Carta giving us rights, or we're going to whop your head off." And so basically England established a system of law where the power of government was to be limited by the chains of the Constitution. Parliament would make the laws, and they had division of powers, and certainly all of these things worked very well. And England did have a tradition of freedom, which is why, of course, when King George came in during the time in the 1860s, probably in the 1760s and 1770s, why the colonists were so furious, because King George was trying to do everything he could to expand the power of the British government over the lives of the people. And certainly our founding fathers recognized that this is the tradition that has existed down throughout all ages. There's always a struggle between the rulers and the ruled, and they recognized what had happened in ancient Greece. Greece had a democracy where the people voted themselves into tyranny. After all, it's only natural that people will vote for the man who promises to give them the most. And Plato had written in his book, The Republic, "Democracy always deteriorates into despotism. Democracy deteriorates into despotism." And he was absolutely right. And so basically the same thing happened in Rome. They started out with the Republic. They established a democracy. It ended up, of course, with Julius Caesar becoming the dictator there. And, of course, it just set off a long line of dictatorships. The reason, of course, Julius Caesar was dictator was because was executed by Brutus and his followers, Julius Caesar's friends, is because he was trying to establish a dictatorship. And so they executed him and brought in Augustus Caesar. But understand that the history of mankind is always going from freedom to slavery. And it's happening right here in America today. Give us a call. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and fortunately we have with us for The next hour, our good friend William Federer, and we're going to be talking about his book, From Change to Chains. William, please pick up the story. That's an excellent book. I really think that you've done a great service to review these simple truths that every American should know, and we have to be constantly reminded that freedom is lost when people are not on the ramparts, and as you quote Sidney, President Reagan so well, every society is within one generation of losing its freedom. We must constantly be aware and be on the front lines fighting for freedom, or we'll spend our twilight years telling our children and our children's children what it was like to have lived in America, where men were free. William, go right ahead.
Well, Dr. Stan, the book is Change to Chains, and what I do is I go through a survey of world history, and there's been about 6,000 years of recorded human history. And now 6,000 years sounds like a long time, but it's really not. It's only 60 people living 100 years each back to back. And you're all the way back to the beginning of recorded human history. So you get any world civilization textbook, open it up to chapter 1, and it starts about 3 or 4,000 BC with Egyptian hieroglyphics and Sumerian cuneiform on clay tablets somewhere in the Mesopotamian Valley. And lo and behold, that's about as long as the Bible says man's been around, but that's a different topic. But this is secular history. And the first empire was Sargon of Akkadia. It went from the Persian Gulf to the Atlantic Ocean. The Persian Gulf to the Mediterranean Sea. And then after that was the Egyptians. And then after that was the Elamites, which became Persia, which today is Iran. And then there was the Babylonians and Hammurabi's Code and the Assyrians, Tilgath-Pileser of Assyria. Their capital was Nineveh. And these were all empires. They were all ruled by one person. And you could look at about the same time is when civilizations begin in India with their Maharajas and China with their emperors. And then we have the Alexander the Great and Julius Caesar and the different Byzantine emperors and the Muslim sultans and the Aztec Montezumas and King of England, King of France, King of Spain, no matter where you go in the world and no matter which
Hold that thought. We'll be right back in a moment here. Well, this is Dr. Stan and Sidney William Federer, our guest, and his book, From Chains to Chains. Chains, C-H-A-N-G-E, to Chains, C-H-A-I-N-S, pointing out that the history of mankind has always been that there would be an authoritarian figure that would rule the people. Now, of course, they tried democracy in ancient Greece. It worked for a while, but very, very soon, why they had a despotism there. And then, of course, the same thing had happened in Rome, and it started out with a republic, and then, of course, you had a small group of people who accumulated great wealth, and then to counter that, you had Julius Caesar come in, but he wanted to fight these people of great wealth who were exploiting the people. He wanted to become a dictator himself, and so then, of course, Rome went into a series of dictatorships, but down through the ages, it was always this authoritarian system, usually with the authoritarian figure backed up by a religious figure, and the religious figure, whether it be a priest or certainly a pharaoh, a witch doctor, a shaman, or whatever he was, he would certainly be validating the divine right of kings, and then the king would validate the religion, and so religion and the monarch, whoever he was, emperor, king, would always, of course, work together to control the masses. You pick up the story there, William.
Well, as you mentioned, when you look through these ancient civilizations, there's three things in common. One, a fascination with the stars, the heavens. Two, buildings to observe the stars in the heavens. And three, somebody that gets to climb the building and claim that they're the intermediary between the people and heaven. And whether it's the Chinese emperors who claimed they had a mandate from heaven, or the Incan kings in South America that claim to be a delegate of the sun god, or the same thing in Egypt, or the Roman emperors that demanded that their image be worshipped. And then, as you mentioned, in the Middle Ages, it was the divine right of kings. And so you can see that here these people said, hey, the heavens, the divinity, picked me to be the intermediary, and therefore my word is law. And they would have life and death power over everybody. And then they would have all the grain stored in the temple treasury and so forth, and they would dispense it. And now you thought, well, what about Israel? Well, Israel was different, because when Moses came down from the mountain, he said that the king was equal to the people, and that the king had to get the book of the law, a copy of it written down, and read it every day so that he would not think of himself more highly than his brethren. And every now and then a king would, and a prophet would come by and rebuke him. And so equality was the hallmark of the Jewish law, whereas all the other ones, their encounter with divinity made this special class where they were superior. Now you can begin to see where what we call New Testament Christianity, or as was emphasized after the Reformation, Protestant Christianity, that this said, well, the individual has their own relationship with God, and therefore it pulled the rug out from underneath the divine right of kings. You don't need a mediary then. So for the first three centuries of Christianity, they didn't try to change the government. It was a personal, individual thing. It was only when the Emperor Constantine converted to Christianity that they got thrown a curveball. And when the first heresy started and the emperors got the bishops together to settle it, that's when the government started to slip into the role of determining doctrine and infringing on the rights of conscience. So we see that these dictators throughout history claimed that they were more special than the people, and equality was based on your relationship with that person. So if you were a friend of the dictator, you were more equal. If you were not a friend of the dictator, you were less equal, and if you're an enemy of his, you're dead. It's called treason. And so we see that what we have in America is everyone is equal because they're made in the image of a creator. This is different than what we see in the different eras of history and, you know, the monarchs of Europe and so forth. So when I speak in schools, I'll have the kids hold up a fist in one hand and say concentrated power, and then an open palm in the other hand with their fingers apart and say separated power. And then I go back to the fist, and I said, that's world history. For most of world history, power was in the hands of monarchs. America took the power of a monarch, and we separated it in three branches, separated it at federal or state level, and then we tied the thing up with 10 handcuffs we call the First 10 Amendments. But after every crisis, we see a gradual concentration of power back in the direction of one person. So he who dictates is effectively the dictator. But I'm getting ahead of myself. As we look through history, there's only really about two dozen examples of attempts to have people rule themselves without a monarch. And there was no consistency. They would try different things. Again, there was no blueprint or handbook lying around on how to have a government without a king. The first instance that is well known is the Israelites. About two centuries, they went into the Promised Land. They did not have a king. And anybody could be raised to be the country's deliverer, their judge, and would rule for a while. And then when they would backslide and start worshiping the other god, God would get overrun, and then the people would repent and cry out to God, and God would raise up somebody else. And 13 times in the book of Judges this happened. One interesting story was Gideon, and he died, and he had an illegitimate son named Abimelech, and Abimelech went to his town of Shechem, and they took the money out of the pagan temple treasury and gave it to Abimelech, and he used it to buy worthless men who became his followers, and they went to another city and they killed all of Gideon's legitimate sons on a rock. They smashed all their heads. And anyway, but it was this idea that he took money, public money, and used it to buy supporters. And we see that happen again in Rome. But then again, we see that today with using stimulus money to buy Acorn and SEIU supporters. They're using the public funds against the public. But, so they all disrupt, and the people want to handle the profit, and they said, we don't like this. We wouldn't be like all the other countries. We want a king. And Samuel said, you're not going to like it. He's going to take your daughters and make them, he's going to take your men and make them run before his chariot. He's going to take your best farms. And the people said, we don't care. It's a totalitarian government. The government's going to decide every aspect of our children. We want a king anyway.
Bill, we're having a little problem. Your cell phone's breaking up. You don't have a regular phone with you?
I do. We tried calling it, but it didn't work.
All right.
We could try it again.
All right, fine. Well, when we get to the next break, that's what we'll do. Either that or we'll get you to plug your cell phone into the wall so that it is not breaking up so much. But what you're saying is so vitally important, we want to hear it. So you go right ahead, because basically, because this is what happened, and this sort of thing has happened over and over again down through the ages. People have gone from freedom into slavery, and it's vitally important that people understand that this is what happens, and certainly, this is what's happening in the United States today. We had a wonderful system where the power of the government was limited over the lives of the people, but the tyrant said, oh, but we want to help the elderly. Oh, we love the elderly. It's so important that we can help the elderly, and so basically, of course, well, it's just Social Security. What's wrong with giving a little money to help those people who need it so much? And then, of course, what's wrong with providing health care for those people who can't afford it? I mean, who could be in favor of people not being able to get health care? Well, fast forward, and you find out that suddenly 20% of our budget now is going for Social Security. There is no Social Security fund. 20% of our budget is going for Medicare. There is no Medicare fund. The money's all been stolen by the politicians who were so concerned and they wanted just to help the elderly. No, they wanted their money so they could spend it so they could get reelected. And this is what's really going on. And I'll ask Ari to check line one, see if we can pick up who's got on line one there. But anyway, hopefully we'll have William back here in just a moment. He'll call us back again. Under any circumstances, what's happened now, of course, we're putting out another 25% of our budget for the military, fighting useless wars, but of course they keep the military happy, and then the military keeps the government in power. You always want to make sure you've got a happy military, and so you reward the leaders of the military with fat pension checks, and so they will be loyal, and this happens all throughout the world. You want to pay the police well, you want to pay the military well, because they have guns and they keep the government in power. And then, of course, you create artificial enemies, as we have. And then, of course, oh, my goodness, we've got to have all sorts of new laws to protect the people against, the wicked Osama bin Laden or the terrorists who want to come here to damage us. And so we create a terrorist movement. Did you ever stop and wonder, ladies and gentlemen, why the underwear bomb didn't go off? How could they possibly have built a bomb that it couldn't possibly explode because there were certainly no blasting caps in it? Have you ever wondered why the shoe bomber's bomb didn't go off? Well, because it wasn't supposed to go off. They didn't have any blasting caps in it. You can't ignite that type of explosive without them. What about the smoke bomb there in Times Square? You know, this guy goes all the way over there to Pakistan to learn how to make a bomb. He's going to kill a lot of Americans, and lo and behold, what it is, it turns out it's a smoke bomb. Our borders are wide open. Any terrorist who wanted to come in could come in. We haven't had any acts of individual terrorism, or almost none of them. This whole war on terrorism is as phony as a $3 bill. We'll be back in just a moment with William Federer. Hi, William. Let's go ahead and see if we're any better.
Gold and silver is tremendously undervalued. Global demand vastly exceeds mine supply by more than 60% annually. There is little in the financial world more certain than a coming explosion in the prices of gold and silver. The U.S. dollar continues to lose value and respect as the world's reserve currency. Our nation faces challenges on many fronts, and a day doesn't pass without another economist bringing forth warnings of impending economic calamity. There has never been a better time than right now to acquire physical gold and silver. Discount Gold and Silver Trading was founded on the principles of truth and honesty. We believe in providing a quality product, quality service, and most importantly, competitive pricing. We provide all forms of precious metals, including American gold, silver, platinum, and rare investment and circulated coins. Silver bars, rounds, and 90% silver bags are on hand for the silver investor. Gold self-directed IRAs are available. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. Toll free, that's 1-800-375-4188.
Well, many men begin having prostate symptoms when they get to be 60 years of age, so Radio Liberty is offering a great product. It's called Prostate Support. It's put together by one of the country's leading health food manufacturers. It contains ingredients which have been proven to work. I know health experts who take the product, and I use it as well, and I think it really is very effective. In addition, we have a product for women during that difficult time of life. It's called Menopause Support. And lastly, we have a product for people who have chronic difficulty with their immune system and nothing else seems to work, it's called Immune Support. All are available by calling 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. These products are compiled by a very reliable company. Give us a call, 1-800-544-8927.
Did you know that there's an increasing amount of scientific data which says that fluoride in drinking water is dangerous? Are you aware that your drinking water may in fact contain many unhealthy substances, even things which can cause sickness or disease? If you'd like information on how to remove these contaminants, find out about the Verki water filter. You can call 800-544-8927 for complete information. There is a way to return to having pure, safe drinking water. The Verki water filter. Call 800-544-8927 for information about a product that could protect you and your family from waterborne disease. The number to call is 800-544-8927. Call today.
Ruling class, and the laws did not apply to the oligarchy. It just does here in America today. Why, of course, many of the laws that apply to you and I do not apply to the ruling class, and that would be the politicians. They've excluded themselves from the laws. They have a separate pension system. They have a separate health care system. And many of the laws on discrimination, sexual discrimination, specifically exclude, of course, our elected officials. Why? Because, of course, they pass the laws and they exclude them. They don't want to have to be regulated like all the common people. And then we have, for all intents and purposes, ladies and gentlemen, a ruling oligarchy in America today. As I often say, the finest politicians money could buy. Certainly, when Lyndon Johnson went to Washington, D.C., as a young congressman, he had to borrow money to get to Washington, D.C. When he finally returned home 30 or 40 years later, he was one of the richest men in Texas. How did he do that on a congressman's salary? Why, he was one of the finest politicians money could buy. And he was well rewarded. Remember, of course, when Bill Clinton retired from the presidency, he was given a contract to write a book. He was paid $10 million for his book. Hillary was paid $8 million for her book. The Pope, with 1.25 billion followers throughout the world, also got $8 billion for her book, for his book. Pope John Paul II. Whose book do you think was worth the most? Go right ahead.
Well, as you mentioned, the oligarchy, they wrote themselves favors. Like if you're a speaker and you live in California, you can get a jumbo jet to fly you back and forth and spend $30,000 every time you fly. But you know, the other ones just have to take the regular plane. Anyway, the people in Athens would get upset at these oligarchy, of these people voting themselves favors. And as they began to clamor and demand more and demand more and demand more, finally, the power had to be relinquished into the hands of the people. And so they had a democracy. But after a while, people who are not used to running things, and they're motivated by their basest desires of lust and, you know, and greed, they began to vote themselves money out of the treasury and vote some more and vote some more and vote some more until pretty soon there wasn't anything in there. Then they voted to take more money from the rich, and so the rich became defensive, and then they would have private armies to defend their property, and before long it all erupted into chaos and fighting. And so out of this chaos would rise a tyrant, a tyrannus. And so that is the full circle that Plato described. You go from an aristocracy to a timocracy to an oligarchy to a democracy, and democracy without virtue and self-control of the people ends in chaos, out of which a tyrant arises. And so this is what happened in Athens. They voted themselves a lot of money out of the treasury. And then you compound that with that when you're having internal problems is the perfect time to have an external problem, an attack. And so while Athens was going through these internal struggles, there was a guy named Philip of Macedon. He was a king north of Greece. And he was conquering different city-states like Thebes and so forth. When Philip would attack, he'd have two columns and then two flanks, so it'd make four. And then he had what was later called the fifth column. The fifth column was what? He paid propagandists in the city, sort of like the way George Soros pays people. And these propagandists would stand up in the agora and lie and say, Philip's not liberating these cities. I mean, not conquering. He's liberating them. He's a good guy. He's really, you know, nice. And they would gather around themselves what Lenin later called useful idiots, people that believe their propaganda and their lies and their traitors. And it confused Rome, it confused Greece so bad that when Philip marched up to the gates, they had to throw the gates open and surrendered. And he came in, took over, and that was the end of the people of Athens ruling themselves for over 2,000 years. After Philip came Alexander the Great, his son. After Alexander the Great's empire came the Romans. After them, the Byzantines. After them, the Muslim sultans. And after that, World War I. And even now, Greece is pretty well ruled by the EU. So when you give up your chance to rule yourself, you may never get that chance back again.
Amen to that. Well, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. But these are the lessons of history. And we must understand that democracy always leads to tyranny. We have a republic. The whole idea was to limit the power of government so men could be free. But you can't have a government that provides for the people, because if you do, why, it will end up oppressing the people. And ladies and gentlemen, we're well on our way to dictatorship. Give us a call.
The next, so in the book I go through, first list all of the empires ruled by monarchs and kings, and there's hundreds and hundreds of them, and I have about 13 pages of my book where I just list them: Ashoka in India, and you know, Attila the Hun, and Genghis Khan, and all of them. But I go through the couple dozen alternatives to monarchy, and the next major one is Rome. Rome was SPQR. Senatus Publicus Romanus, and it was a republic, res publica, in the place of. So you, contrary to a democracy where you have to vote on everything, the republic, you can spend your time working, supporting your family, and you have a representative in your place that is looking out after your interests. And Rome started when the fifth king of Rome raped Lucretia, a girl, and she was so distraught, she got all the Roman leaders together and committed suicide right in front of them. And they were so upset that they killed the king, and they passed a law in Rome that if anybody would make themselves king, anybody could kill that person without any repercussions. So nobody wanted to get anywhere near being a king. And so they were a republic. Now, they were not elected senators. They were hereditary. So the founders of this Roman Republic, it was their descendants. And so as the years went by, they became the wealthy. They became an aristocracy. But there were about 600 senators. In America, we have 535 congressmen and senators. So we, you know, are getting pretty near what Rome had. And the senators would end up, again, human nature, voting themselves to having more benefits. And a lot of the people became in debt, indebted to the senators. And they, there was somebody from one of the senators' families that was bankrupt. The dad lost his money, but the son was named Julius Caesar. And so he quickly learned how in Rome, again, this is before Christianity, so we're just talking raw human drive for power. He
realized Hold that thought. We'll be right back here. Well, this is Dr. Stan. It's in the Ed Whittem in his book, From Change to Chains, from C-H-A-N-G-E. To C-H-A-I-N-S, from change to change, simply gives us the history of what's happened to all the great civilizations of the past, and it's so important to review them, to understand what happened to certainly in ancient Babylon, to understand what happened in ancient Greece, to understand what happened in ancient Rome, and how the people always lost their freedom. And then, of course, why America was so a wonderful nation. Because here in America, the power of the central government was limited by the chains of the Constitution. We did not elect our senators, because, of course, once you could elect the senators, then you would have the finest senators money could buy. The senators were to represent the states. They had to neutralize that with the 17th Amendment so we could have the elected senators, so they could buy, the ruling elite could buy and sell the senators, just like they can buy and sell the congressmen. And so then you go back and you read what Andrew Jackson wrote about in his farewell address, and that's for our duly elected officials. Well, President Obama has appointed a new chief of staff. Who is he? His name is William Daley. Where did he come from? J.P. Morgan Chase, of course. And this is how the whole system works. I mean, who is the largest source of funding for President Obama's election? Why, the major bank and banking interests, along with George Soros. Well, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. If you have a question or comment for William on this subject, we'd love to hear it. But William has done a wonderful job with this little book of certainly laying the foundation for what's going on. We've actually ordered the book because we want to be able to provide it for you. You need to go over this again and again in your mind so you can discuss the history intelligently. Because remember, those who do not remember the past.
He raided the Temple of Saturn, which was where the public treasury was. And the senators got together and said, if we could just kill him, we can restore the republic. Well, they kill him, but the people liked somebody that was good-looking and, gave good speeches and so forth. So it wasn't. The only thing they could do was get his nephew, Augustus Caesar, to take over. And Augustus means divine. So this guy, like, made himself a god, Augustus Caesar. And he was the ruler of the entire Roman Empire. So all this power was controlled by one. So Rome transitioned from a republic to an empire and went on for a couple centuries more before it was invaded by all the illegal immigrants and overrun. And that's a whole other story. But and then we look at, in the book, there was the Italian city-states were sort of a nobleman's republic. You know, these wealthy guys got to vote, but they didn't have kings. There was Dubrovnik, a city off the eastern Adriatic, and they ruled without a king. And way up in the mountains, they were able to survive a long time until Napoleon conquered them. But I go through in the book these examples. Another was the Dutch. They had seven United Netherlands provinces, and they did not have a king. And during their Dutch Golden Age, they had settlements in Indonesia and India and South Africa and North America, which became New York, South America. And their way of raising money, flowers. Well, for some reason or another, the rich people got them, and so everybody wanted what the rich had, and so they would buy these bulbs, and while the bulbs were growing, they would have, like, stock in the bulbs, and they traded, and finally, when they would deliver it, the whole stock market crashed, so they were buying these bulbs for enormous amounts, and so they had the first stock market crash.
That was called the tulip mania. It was, and basically, people were making fabulous fortunes selling tulip bulbs of all foolish things. Sort of like the housing bubble we've recently witnessed. You know, no reason for it at all. Run up the price of the tulip bulbs, run up the price of the houses. Of course, we saw the same thing in the South Sea Island. That's a neat property. Another time they did the same thing with a property in Florida, you know, and they kept bidding the prices up. But it simply plays upon human greed. And when you're making money, you're totally oblivious to the implications of what you're doing. And of course, our actions are usually motivated, first of all, by greed and then by fear. But anyway, go right ahead.
Well, you bring out a really good point. That is the foundational concept, that man is selfish. He's greedy. Left to himself, that greed will accumulate to somebody being in charge as a king. Our founders did something unique. They took the power of a king and separated it into three branches and pitted those branches against each other. So the selfishness in the executive branch would always try to take power from the legislative and judicial. And the selfishness in the judicial would always try to do tug-of-war and take power from the executive and legislative. And the selfishness in the legislative would try to take power from the other two. So greed would check greed. Ambition would check ambition. I explained to appreciate the difficulty of this. Imagine a Sunday school teacher telling her class to come up with a homework assignment, design a system of government where sinners keep other sinners from sinning. I mean, that's what our Constitution is. They realized that there were no angels on earth to govern us, so we'd have to govern ourselves. And so since everybody's a fallen human being and is subject to selfishness, the only way to do it is to have the selfishness in one branch try to check the other two. And it works unless one political party controls all three branches, because then short circuits, there's no dynamic tension, because they all want to accomplish the goals of the party, and so that's when it begins to, again, move into that direction of concentrated power. But and then our founders separated power again, federal to state level. And then they tied up this new federal Frankenstein with 10 handcuffs we call the first 10 amendments. Our founders went to great lengths to put up hurdles to prevent the reaccumulation of power. And it was Eisenhower who actually used that term Frankenstein. He says that the states created the federal government, and he says now the federal government, in a Frankenstein-like way, is wanting to take power from and destroy its creators and the state. So America, in this list of around two dozen alternatives to monarchy, America has been the most prosperous and most successful with more individual freedoms than any other. And you think, why is this? Well, if you look at it, when the USSR fell and the Iron Curtain came down, and the Soviet Union broke up into different countries, and we went over there and helped them set up forms of government, and that were republics, or, you know, and after 20 years have gone by, what's happened over there? The black market, the organized crime, the mafia. I mean, this is a thugocracy. This is, you know, half of Russia's GDP is the black market, and it's run by gangs. And you think, well, why didn't the Russians experience the same freedoms that America had? Well, their experiment of the people ruling themselves was based on 70 years of atheism. And then we look at the Muslim countries, these dictatorships. We see the rug being pulled out from underneath the Shah of Iran, Mubarak, Saddam Hussein, who had been propped up for years. And as these Muslim dictators have the rugs pulled out from under them, and we help them introduce democracy into these Muslim countries, what inevitably happens when you introduce democracy into a Muslim country? The fundamentalist Muslims take over, and they enact Sharia law. And it's the death penalty if you leave Islam, and women and non-Muslims are made into second-class citizens, and, you know, in Egypt, they'll take the daughters from the Christian families and stick them into their Muslim marriages, and they'll never see their family again, and horrible things happen. Why don't Muslim countries, when they have democracy, experience the same freedoms that America does? That's because their experiment of people ruling themselves is based on Islam, and there is no concept of equality in Islam. Our experiment of the people ruling themselves in America worked. Why? Because we had several hundred years of Judeo-Christian ethic, of this Protestant work ethic, of this idea that do unto others as you would have them do unto you, that we're all equal, made in the image of a creator, Book of Genesis, that there's this God that's always watching over our shoulder, that's going to hold us eternally accountable and wants us to be good to everybody and treat them as equals. And so we were able to get by without a monarch, without a strong external force, because the populace had an internal moral force. So the more internal restraints the people have, the less external restraints they need. And Ben Franklin even said, only virtuous people are capable of freedom. As they lose their virtues, there's more need for masters. And John Adams said the same thing. He says, our Constitution was made only for a moral and religious people. It's wholly inadequate for the government of any other. So our government was designed to govern people who could govern themselves. And I use the illustration with a teenager. You know, if the kid controls themselves and is responsible, you give them the car keys and say, look, you come home whenever because I know you're going to do what's right. But if you don't control yourself from the inside and do what's right and drink and drive and hang around the wrong kids, you're going to end up being pulled over by the police and thrown in the slammer and controlled from the outside. So you're going to be controlled either voluntarily from the inside or forcibly from the outside. And that's basically how a country is. You either voluntarily have internal morals, or you would have a strong external.
But of course, in America, it was really based upon religious faith, and basically this was the essence of our whole system of morality here was based upon the fact that we were a Christian, a Judeo-Christian nation, and the old adage of you'll either be ruled by God or you'll be ruled by tyrants. And if you are not allowing yourself to be ruled by God and follow the dictates of the Bible, then of course you're going to find that you certainly will have to have an authoritarian ruler. So this really was the alternatives, and initially we had a deeply moral people. People went to church. People acknowledged that there was a God they were beholden to, and so we had a free society. That's why they took God and prayer out of our schools, because there are people who knew if you could destroy the Christian faith of our people, why, of course, then we would have to have a dictator. Go right ahead.
Well, you're hitting it right on the head, and that's what Plato said. Democracy without virtue ends in chaos, out of which a tyrant arises. Well, if your goal is to be the tyrant, then you want to remove the virtue. You want there to be chaos so that the people will cry out for help. And so we see this trend. Now, we didn't even talk about it yet, but there's a whole other set of philosophers who want to take the separated power and concentrate it. Machiavelli, Hegel, Karl Marx, Saul Alinsky, and their idea was intentionally to create or capitalize on a crisis to consolidate control. So you have this natural fallen human nature, but you also got these guys that want to use crisis as opportunities to concentrate power back into the hands of the Pharaoh.
And I think that's really such an important issue. People don't understand that a lot of the crises we're seeing today are created intentionally to justify centralization of power in the hands of a ruling elite. This is why we have to have an enemy. We have to have an enemy so the people will follow the all-powerful ruler. He's going to protect us from the enemy that the ruler's created. Well, William, we've got 3 minutes to wrap up the program.
Well, I'll just talk about one. Machiavelli lived 500 years ago in Italy.
Heart disease is on the rise. Clogged arteries, high blood pressure, and high cholesterol levels may not be fully detected by you, but the symptoms are there. Loss of energy, blood sugar spikes and drops, poor circulation, and irregular heartbeat are just a few of these that can alert you that something is wrong. Hear how Heart and Body Extract is making a difference in thousands of people's lives across America.
My blood pressure has normalized. My diabetes has totally improved.
Everyone is telling me now how much healthier I look. I'm telling everyone how much healthier I feel. I recommend Heart and Body Extract to everyone.
Anybody over 40 in the North American continent should be using this product as a preventative to keep their cardiovascular system healthy.
Order your 2-month supply today by calling 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. Or order online, hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract, 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com.
You may be new to freeze-dried foods. You may have storable food questions. You may want to buy your freeze-dried foods from a very reputable company and not go broke in the process. Welcome to the Freeze-Dry Guy. Okay, actually, we're more than just one guy. We're a California-based company that's been serving our U.S. military and other government agencies with the finest in freeze-dried storable foods and emergency rations since 1970. See all about us at freezedryguy.com. With Freeze-Dry Guy freeze-dried foods, you can and will be ready for just about any unexpected crisis. Freeze-dried guy foods are delicious, require little preparation.